A message today, let Jesus wash you. Let Jesus wash you. You know, in the hours before Jesus' crucifixion, the four Gospels give us stories of how Jesus spent his time. And one of the most revelatory accounts is in John 13 concerning Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. Everything Jesus did and everything he said shows us who he is and what he came for. Nothing Jesus did or said was incidental or accidental. We can't say that of ourselves. Remember when they wanted Jesus to do a miracle? He said, my time has not come yet, but any time's okay for you. That's in the vernacular, that's what he said. In other words, Jesus knew the time and exactly what he was supposed to say in each situation, and everything he did and said had wonderful meaning. You know, washing feet, I want to give you just a little cultural understanding of it. At this time in history, it was the norm to provide for a guest to wash their feet. The roads were very dusty and dirty, and everyone wore sandals. And it was provided, the washing of feet was provided, as we would say to our guests who arrive, would you like a glass of water? Or if they're going to stay longer, can I make you a cup of tea? You always did that. It was something you did to show that you appreciated your guest. I don't know. Maybe they didn't want their dirty feet to track in the house. I don't know. All of the things. I have people come in my house sometime and offer to take their shoes off. And I say, no, we're not going to do that around here. But you know, when I was in Mozambique, I wore one pair of sandals the whole time I was there. And the thing when you're in Africa, these were my instructions, you put your sandals on and you leave them on all day long and you don't take them off till you get in bed at night. That's because you don't want things to get in your feet and infect them that are in the soil on the very dirt in the ground. And when I left, I was so pleased to give those sandals to somebody else. They were absolutely filthy with the dust and the dirt. So the bowl and the towel would be at the door where one could wash his feet as he entered in. Or if a man was wealthy, he provided a servant who washed the feet of arriving guests. My dragon thought I said who watched the feet. I just now read that. And we try not to watch people's feet because people can't help what their feet are like. And some feet are pretty awful. And some people are always worried about their feet being big and all of this. But I think that God gives people feet that fit their bodies. I think you ought to be glad that your feet work and pray for mine that mine will begin to work perfectly. Right? Okay. But what never did happen was that the host would wash the feet of his guests. That didn't happen. It was a thing of class. And this was just not done. That's why it's so startling to the disciples. When Jesus rose, girded a towel, and began to wash the feet of his guests, the disciples. Isn't it interesting? We have these crazy ideas, even in churches, in church systems, and we still want to put our leaders somewhere where they couldn't do things like this, or where they couldn't even fix a meal. But you remember after the resurrection, Jesus was out cooking fish. And here he's gotten a meal together for them, and he rises up to wash their feet, which really shocked them. You'll recall that there was a woman of ill repute that burst into the Pharisee's home that was hosting Jesus and began to weep. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and then dry them with the hairs of her head. And when the other Pharisees objected, one of the things Jesus replied was, when I entered, you did not give me any water for my feet. I think Jesus thought this was a big deal. I'll tell you what it showed. It was an act of attentiveness and appreciation and hospitality and honor. So when Jesus said, as I have done this, this is what you need to do for one another, I've done this as an example for you. I don't think he meant for us to literally wash everybody's feet, especially not every day. But I think he did mean for us to be attentive and appreciative and hospitable and honor people around us every day. This is to be our posture, is really what he's saying. In John 13, verse 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then said Simon Peter, said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus then answered, and I want you to get this, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. New Living says, Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. The Easy to Read version says, Unless I wash you, you are not one of my people. I mean, Jesus said, Wash or not, make up your mind, but you're choosing a distance between myself and you if you don't let me wash you. Then Peter said, Oh, fine. Then wash my head, my hands, and everything. It's good that a lot of us are radical, just like Peter. Or should I say erratic in this situation? In this situation, he's just erratic. He's extremes. No, he can't wash me. Yes, you can. You can wash everything. Whatever. And Peter quickly agreed and signed up for a complete bath. But Jesus needed to explain what this washing is. We would call this having a personal relationship with Jesus. Hello? This is what we're really talking about. Getting up close with Jesus. You know, there's a whole world out there, a whole nation, and an awful lot of people in many churches that are just as happy as they can be to serve Jesus at a distance. Some people don't even know you can be close to Jesus. But then there are others who choose not to. You know why? Because he's the way, the truth, and the life. And you get the truth up next to you, it'll be truth every time it gets next to you. If you get the way up next to you, he's going to direct you when you want to go there and you shouldn't. He's going to try to direct you to go somewhere else if you'll listen. And the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And this is what he'll be to us when we're close to him. But this is truly the only way that we can belong to him. You have to be close to a person before they can wash your feet. You ever thought of that? Because they wore sandals, it was something that needed to be done every day. I think there's a real message in this. Every day, every time you see people, and every time you see one another, you're to be the servant who wants to give, who wants to build up another person. I've noticed this about people who succeed, especially in the kingdom, but even in the world, that great people tend to be large in their hearts. They just do things for you that little people are too balled up in themselves to consider doing. But Jesus says he wants this to be a daily walk with us. So Jesus then answered to Peter, You've already had a bath, but coming here you got your feet dirty. In order to be clean, I only need to wash your feet. In verse 10, he tells Peter, when a person has had a bath, he only needs to wash his feet to be clean. This is important. As I said, Jesus is not just talking on here. He never does. We live in a very dirty world. You try to watch something on TV and I know John had on something. I mean, I don't want to say what it was because it might offend you because some of you might watch it and like it. I guess there's nothing really wrong with it. But just every now and then, they're bleeping, because the people can't have a conversation because they never learned any words like the rest of us know. And they thought adjectives always have four letters. And so they're pitiful. And I get tired of the dirtiness that's in the world. I get tired of it. But I'm not too good to hear it in the world. I just don't want it in my house, you know. And I don't, and I've got a shockproof watch. I can go into situations and it's not going to stop my time. Remember that time that Tammy and I went out to the mouse's ear to visit the girl that had come to church. And so we went, took her some Christmas cookies and invited her to come back. I was shocked, but I didn't show it. I just hadn't been in a mouse's ear before. I didn't have a reason to. And I just remember having the thought, oh, so this is... Yeah. And people just act that way and do those things because they're walking in darkness. That day, a little bit of light walked in as I brought Jesus in with me and as Tammy brought her in. The world is a dirty place to be. It's full of all kinds of power struggles and wrong ideas and cruel things and punishments that are unfair and people abusing each other and abortion and every filthy, unclean thing you can imagine. And we can't keep walking on in life sucking it up and acting like it doesn't bother us. It does. You don't have to know it bothers you to be bothered. See what? I need to get close to Jesus and let Him wash my feet at the end of every day. Even if I have a nightmare, it gets disappointed because I let Jesus wash my feet the first thing in the morning as well. And I wash that off. Any of you ever had a nightmare? And it wants to hang around with you the next day. And I said, no, I'm not thinking about you today. Jesus is going to wash my feet and I'm going on from here. Titus 3:5 said, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you don't need to have to be regenerated over and over again. You just need to be regenerated, have this bath once. But then after that, you need your feet washed by me daily. Amen. Happy and at peace is the man who understands what a relationship with Jesus really is. It happens by being washed all over in Jesus' blood, once for all, and then having the day's dirt washed off by staying close to Jesus. Some people don't stay close enough to Jesus to stay clean in their hearts. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, all you have to do is that when the Holy Spirit brings that sin or whatever into your mind, you just confess that and put it under the blood of Jesus. Say, I apply the blood of Jesus to this, but I want to tell you something else. Don't think you can take your sins away. That's why Jesus gave His blood. Only the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You cannot wash your sins away. That's why you need to be close to Jesus every day. The same blood that cleansed us when we first came to Jesus and repented of our sinful life will cleanse us every day when we confess our sins. Well, I thought about, you know, because you have Jesus' 12 disciples, doesn't mean you don't have sinners sitting there. Think about it. And just because we have church today doesn't mean we don't have some sinners sitting here. I want sinners here. I want to tell them what Jesus wants you to know. That's the good news. I think you came to hear the good news today. I heard them say the other day that the Wheel of Fortune, the lady that turns those letters, she's been doing this for 30 years. And she's 60 years old. And she laughed and she said, It's amazing that the show has lasted this long. But I guess it's something where you can just have some good family entertainment without any bad news. How we yearn to get in a situation for a change where we don't have to listen to a bunch of bad news. But here were the disciples, and there was a bad news boy or two sitting there as well. You know, I mean, he's sitting here, and he's looking around the room at John and Matthew and Mark and Bartholomew and James and Peter, and of course Judas was there. That's why Jesus said in verse 10, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you are clean, but not all." For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, "You are not all clean." The New Living said, "You disciples are clean, but not all of you." Because Judas was twisted inside. And he didn't have that bath we're talking about. And verse 11, "For Jesus knew who would betray him." That's what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." Here's the amazing part. He washed the feet of this man, Judas. This is where being a Christian gets sticky. If we could just be the Pharisees we want to be, and go through life with our noses stuck up now that we finally got saved ourselves. But Jesus won't let you do that. And he'll just do an example right before you of washing somebody's feet that's getting ready to kill him or getting ready to betray him. I mean, he could have said, you know, "Pass the salt fish. Hey, don't give Judas any. He's not really a friend to us. He's a betrayer." He gave him every chance right down to the last minute. And Jesus starts washing on you, it'll trouble you. Some people think you can't do anything with people that are acting bad. Oh, I like to have a chance at them. I think you can love them. I think you can give them light. I think you can bring truth to them. I think you can make them salivate over having a life full of joy like you have. Like those sweet little Catholic people that were visiting in Joan's father's funeral said to me later, "I mean, could I have this relationship with Jesus you were talking about?" Something clicked inside of them. They said, "Nobody told me I can." They said, "Where do I start? What can I do to do this?" This is great. I like the encounter. I like the opportunity. The cross, as we sang today, is greater than their sin, their confusion. Any of that. The cross is greater. So he tells his disciples, he's given them an example that they should do as he had done and wash each other's feet. It's hard to be loving and kind to those who will betray us or deny us. Jesus asks us to do things for others that are humbling. Remember, he wants us to go to the one who is offended and make it right. Lord, he was speaking to me about that this week. And I remembered, I think it was Derek Prince who said, a woman came to him and said she couldn't seem to get across to her husband, and she just was tired of always having to be the one who put up with this and who puts up with that. And he said, "Well, do you want him to put up with you? Or, you know, which way would you rather have it? Would you rather put up with him or have him put up with you?" And she looked startled. And he said, "The reason I'm asking you this is because you're the one who's spiritual and has the power to put up with him. He does not have the power to put up with you." I said to the Lord one day, I said, "Why am I always the one, no matter what happens, No matter how much I'm hurt, betrayed, stepped on, whatever, I end up doing the apologizing. Because if a person ends up offended, I always end up going to that person because that's what the Bible says to do. I said, why do I have to do that? He said, because I have called you as an instrument of the word of reconciliation. And that is your call over and over and over again, to cause people to be reconciled through the word of God. And because you have the word, you have that word. Oh. Did you ever have something that was hard to have? For those of you listening online, I'm giving the people a chance to recover. And grow. He wants us to go to the one who's offended and make it right. He wants us to pray for our enemies. Forgive them and bless them. Did you know that you can't hurt a person? You cannot hurt a person by blessing them. He didn't say condone them. That doesn't mean I agree with what people are doing. It means I want them to be blessed somehow around all that junk they're doing. By God. Go ahead and bless people. If someone asks us to go with them a mile, he says we're to go with them 2 miles. That guy's always asking for something. I'm just going to tell him no next time. You blame me? Oh, I think Jesus blames you. I had someone say to me, you know, I've just done this and this and this, and it just doesn't seem to be working at all. I just don't know if there's any use to do it. And I said, maybe there is, and maybe there isn't. It could be you don't know. It could be you'll never know. But at any rate, you'll be doing what Jesus said to do. Sometimes we have to have too much information before we'll obey Jesus. And too many guarantees. If we're slapped on the cheek, we're supposed to turn the other cheek. Well, that's a hard thing to do. I'll punch his lights out. Now, what did Jesus know that we don't, that enabled him to do this, which for us seems so very difficult? The hiding of his power is in verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God, and would return to God, then got up and girded himself with a towel. He knew his authority was settled. He knew who he was in God. He didn't have to prove who he was through other people or by their reactions or not. Sometimes we think what people think of us is so important that we will even compromise, or we'll do things a certain way that we think they want us to do. But what if you knew who you were in God, and you didn't have to prove yourself either to you or to them? If you really know who you are in God, I really do know that God has called me. I don't understand the way he does things sometimes, but I really do know about his call on my life. And he's given me certain authority. And with that in mind, then I know that I can do these things whether people receive it or not. Now I want to tell you something really important. You can give people, you can humble yourself as much as you please and give to people, and it will in no way diminish you. Great people know this. They know that they can give and give and give to people without becoming smaller themselves. How many of you know it doesn't make a person small who lifts up the fallen that other people don't want to touch? It makes those people great, even in the eyes of others, if they'll admit it. And Jesus is calling us to this. I mean, he's calling us really to lift people up. And don't hold your nose while you do it. I love the counsel I was given in Mozambique by a person who'd worked there quite a while, the doctor. And we were going on a medical mission. And she said, now, here's how it goes, Sue. Now, we're going to be out and we're going to be in all these gobs of babies and children. And what you want to do is just take them in your arms and hold them close to you, snotty noses and all. And love them as if Jesus is going to be working in you and through you. Didn't make me any smaller. Some people think, I mean, some people are so into themselves they won't even open a door for somebody else. I'm always surprised when somebody lets a door close. Mostly it doesn't happen. But if someone just goes on, lets a door go back in my face. You know, John told me that a woman said to him one time, thank you, I'm able to open my own door. I think John said, have at it. Help yourself. Well, guess what? I can open my own door too. I can pull out my own seat at the table. I can do all kinds of things, but I love it when people show concern and respect and want to do these things for you. And Jesus said, I'm wanting you to do this every day for each other. You are not made small by making someone else greater, by honoring them, by serving them, and by forgiving them. All right, we're almost finished. And Judas is a sinner. And Peter will deny Christ. And Thomas will refuse to believe the resurrection story when the women come and tell it in the upper room. How many of you know Jesus knows all this? Are we ever respecters of persons when we treat the nice people nice and the other people not as nice? Jesus is saying to you, I want you to touch them all, the ones that you know are not coming up, the ones that you know have their own problems. See, Peter, you know, Peter was a completely different kind of sinner than Judas. Judas had a real heart problem. But Peter, some people think this in their self-righteous way. Well, I've been able to pray for people and they were healed and I won people to the Lord and this and this and this and this. And they get the idea that every time they do anything like this, it makes them more able to stand. Don't be deceived. You see, the real fact is Peter walked on water. How many trips have you made lately? I wouldn't even try it in the bathtub. Peter walked on water and he did amazing things. He had amazing revelation. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me tell you something. You can do miracles, you can have revelation, you can do all of these other things, but you still got to have your feet washed by Jesus every day. It is not enough to do powerful things or faithful things or hardworking things. You've got to come to Jesus and let him wash your feet and stay close to him. Peter had to do that. Peter had to do that. The key sentence in this passage is, if I do not wash you, you do not belong to me. In order to belong to Jesus, to be his follower, his true disciple, he says we must allow him to wash us. Not only does his blood wash us as often as we confess our sins, but he has given us another wonderful cleansing agent, the Word of God. In Ephesians 5:26-27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The Word washes. I just got to tell you something. I want to tell you what the Lord spoke to me this morning during the worship. This morning I was like one of those people that sometimes talk to me about, I thought I wanted to do that, but I didn't know how to get it in. I didn't know if it's the right time. I didn't know when the right time was going to come. And so I didn't really know what to do. So that's kind of how I was this morning. So I had this word coming to me, but actually the worship was just so wonderful and so blessed and so anointed, I kind of sort of didn't want to interrupt. But I really felt I had this word from the Lord, and I really felt it would be a wonderful blessing to you. So here it is. It's actually about what the last scripture in this sermon is about, Ephesians 5, through the washing of the water of the word. He says he will make us a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. The washing of the water of the word. You know, in John 15:4, he said, now you are clean through the word. You're clean through the word. And so, and this is how the word came to me as I was sitting in the worship today. And I just really felt it was so easy to worship and to touch the Lord today. And it went like this: to the pure, all things are pure. And I stepped back and asked the question, how? And he said, hold everything up to the judgment of my word, and let the word bring it to purity. Every situation that we go through, every word we hear, every thought we have, can become pure if you'll hold it up to the judgment of the word. The word is a mirror, the scripture says. And hold that word, hold that thought you're having up to the judgment of the word. If you will do that, if you will respond according as the word says, you will be purifying it. Wow, I thought, to the pure all things are pure, because he takes the responsibility to purify it. It's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? Why is it some people, they can see so much trouble where there's not trouble, or they can see so many problems where there's not problems? They can have so much difficulty where it's not really difficult, is because they're letting all these other things come in instead of the scripture says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be blah, 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 think on these things. We can increase our purity level through this washing of the water of the word. Do you see that? Jesus has provided a wonderful way for us to stay clean. And I'm not talking about being clean so you can be proud of how clean you are. I'm talking about being clean so you won't fall into the filth that's trying to hang on to you. Because you see, if you come, here's why he wants you to come close to him. Because in getting close to him on a daily basis, he gives you the opportunity to be free from those things that can take you right on out of the kingdom of God. Now, Judas was one that was close to Jesus day after day after day. And because he said no to the truth, he hardened his heart until he couldn't find a place of repentance. But the Lord has given us a place and a way. And when we are in the Word of God, or when we hear the Word of God, if we allow that Word to wash us, then we are really clean. You need only to wash your feet, because you've already had the bath of regeneration of the Holy Ghost and you're a born-again person. But don't kid yourself. You get your feet dirty every day. Lord, we thank you. We love you, Lord, for this truth. We love you for showing us this today, Holy Spirit. And now we believe now that you will give us grace and empowerment to step into this truth and to lay hold on it and to take you as the one who washes us. And Lord, we just want to say to you that as we consider, you would even wash Judas's feet and Peter's. And no matter what they were going to do in the future, you give, if we just come to you daily, no matter what the future looks like, and you know it, you wash us anyway. Right. Oh, God. Oh, and the devil says there's no need to get washed. You just get dirty again. Yeah, I know. That's why we got to wash again. We're going to keep on. Everybody say, we're going to keep on washing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for washing us every day. Thank you for your wonderful word that washes us. Thank you for setting us free, Lord, from the bondage of filth that is in the world, that which we walk through every day that tries to cling to us. But we say, no, God has called us to a different way, to a different walk. Thank you, Lord, for making us your disciples. Can we say together, I want to belong to you?
I belong to you.
You said, if I don't wash you, then you don't belong to me. Oh, God, let that sink into my heart. I want to come daily and let you wash me. Holy Spirit, you'll show me what I need. I know I didn't have to struggle. I know, Holy Spirit, you just show me and it'll just be so clear. And I'll begin to say, let me draw near to Jesus and let him wash me. We can stand together in his presence. Before I pray for us this morning, I'm just wondering, as our hearts are bowed in his presence and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's anyone here this morning that you have not given your heart to Jesus, you said okay, or you said yes, or you started following, but have you really surrendered? Have you fully surrendered all of your life? Because that's what he wants. And he wants you to know that he's the only one that can save you. And he wants to save you. He's not willing that any should perish. Before we go any further, is there someone today that needs to say, I need to be saved. I need to surrender to Jesus. I need to be born again. Pastor, will you pray for me? If you just lift your hand, I'll pray for you. This morning, if you need to be included in this prayer, I see your hand to my left. All right, are there others? Pastor, pray for me. I want to surrender today. I want to throw it all in. I want to belong to him. I want to be one who knows and who has the power to come to him every day and gets clean every day. You know, it's easy to go along through life thinking you're okay, but then the Holy Spirit one day brings you up close to Jesus, up next to him. And suddenly you just realize, I just don't have this thing she's talking about. But I want you to know it's free. You don't have to get any better to receive it. All you have to do is surrender and yield it up. Anyone else, before I pray, wants to lift your hand and say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. I want to surrender. I want to yield it all. I want to be truly born again. All right, I see your hand to my right. You know, this is very important. There is nothing any more important than giving your life to Jesus Christ. It's so important in church that we worship and release the angels among us and believe God and release our faith so that in these moments there can be true born again experience. Any others before I pray for these? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to hearts today. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hand to my right. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to hearts today. Thank you for the power of deliverance that's ours in the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray for these that have lifted their hands this morning. You know all about them. You know their greatest need. You know their failures. You know their fears, their doubts. Oh, but we come to you. We come with them today. And so say we want to join them in prayer today that all of their lives could be given completely to you. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful Holy Spirit who does this work of regeneration. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. For those of you that lifted your hands earlier, would you please, our heads still bowed, but we're just going to pray with these people. Those that lifted your hands earlier, lift both of your hands now as an act of surrender to Jesus and just tell Him, Lord, I'm receiving You. I'm surrendering to You. I'm yielding to You. I'm embracing Your truth. I'm taking from You everything that You want to give me, because You're the only one that can really save me and deliver me from sin. Now, church, let's pray this prayer with them today. Lord, I thank You for such a Savior, for Jesus today. I receive Him fully. I give Him my heart and my life. I surrender everything. And I ask Him to come into my heart. And Holy Spirit, that You'll reveal Jesus to me. And that You'll wash me. Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Thank You, Lord, for such a great salvation. Oh, let's applaud God for giving us Jesus and giving us salvation. Pastor Eddie, help us worship Jesus today. It's a wonderful time to worship Jesus for what He's done. For these people and for each one of us today. Yes, thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
Thank You. The cross has
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
The cross has defined the world.
Thank You, Lord. How good You are.
The darkest night, but the cross
Cross has the final word, thank God.
The final word.
You have the final word in my life, Lord. Thank You, Jesus.